الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. For most people, every day is an exercise of trying to exert some type of control on the environment that exists outside of us. So there is an environment or a context which comprises of our own selves, and there is that which exists kharij al-nas, right? Kharij al-insan, that exists outside the person, meaning our environs, right, our surroundings, our circumstances, and the instances that comprise our life, which exists outside of our own person. And much of our lives is trying to exert some type of control, exert some type of order on that which exists outside of us. Right? So for example, when you try to pick up a glass, to put it to our mouth, to quench our thirst, or when we pick up some food to put it in our mouth, to quench our hunger, or satisfy our hunger, all of those are examples of trying to quote-unquote exert some type of control on our external reality. Now what happens is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given or allows a human being, right, and has made the entire external world subservient to man so that we could be in turn subservient to him. But since Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sakhara lakum ma fil ardi jamia, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made subservient for you whatever is in the heavens and the earth, and if that is the case, right, then when a human being is able to exert this quote-unquote pseudo-control, then he begins to feel that he's in charge. Right. He begins to think that things should be happen my way. And then when things don't go their way, then they feel very upset. Right? They feel very angered. Right? Because it didn't go according to plan. Actually, if you look at it, the root of frustration, right? When you do a root cause analysis, it is basically when something happens in contravention to one's own expectations of what should have happened. Right? You want things to work out a certain way, things don't work out that way, and then you get frustrated. Or you're working towards a certain goal to try to accomplish something, right? And things don't happen to be going quote unquote your way, right? They don't go your way, and then you start getting frustrated. One starts getting frustrated. And so if this is the root of the problem, then we should address the root of the problem. It is incumbent upon us to understand that ultimately we are in control of nothing. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is qadir mutlaq. Right? He's fa'ali haqiqi. He is the true doer. He is the creator of actions. He is the true creator and the one who is ultimately in power, in control of every single atom that exists in the entire universe. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is completely in control of that. Not you, not me. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made everything with a certain measure, with a certain time, with a certain destiny. And no matter what a person tries to do, he can't alter that destiny. That is one of the basic beliefs of a Muslim. آمَنْتُ بِاللَّهِ وَمَلَائِكَتِهِ وَكُتُبِهِ وَرُسُلِهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَبِالْقَدْرِ خَيْرِهِ وَشَرِّهِ مِنَ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. Then you believe in destiny. That everything is foreknown by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It doesn't mean that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala compels a person to do something, but it is known in the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is perfect. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is completely in control of what happens, how things happen, and if something is happening, that is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has willed it to happen so. He has willed it to happen so. And so, the irony is that even though people try to exert so much control over their environment, most of the time, right? Although some of the time, many of the times things do go our way, many of the times they don't go our way as well. And that should actually serve to us as a constant reminder that one should not fall under the false impression that I'm in control. Right? That is should be a humbling factor. That should be a leveling factor to show you who is ultimately in the driver's seat. Right? Who's ultimately in the driver's seat. If you give your child, you know, $5 of allowance every week, and then after a little while the child gets a little bit too big for his own britches, as they say in this country, right? Starts talking back, starts pushing, you know, pushing back, giving you resistance. Then what you do, you say, so much for your allowance this week, right? To remind him that these $5 aren't yours, right? It's coming from here. In the same way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? Even though on a daily basis, He is so kind, He is so Rahman, He is so Rahim, He gives, He has so much Rahmah, He gives us food to eat, He lets our lungs breathe, and our heart beat, and He does all of these things without us even asking Him, right? That's all given. But at the same time, He allows those circumstances to arise within our life where things don't go in our way, and that should actually serve us to us as a reminder, not to get frustrated, but just to realize that, oh, Allah is in charge, it's not me. Allah is in charge, it's not me. And if you really think about it, in a fundamental sense, it is not our job, it does not behoove us even to be in control. Right? Because if we were in control, it's like putting a 12-year-old in the driver's seat, almost inevitably the car is going to crash. Ultimately, we don't want to be in control, we want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be in control. And actually, if you think about Islam, right, Silm has a connotation. It comes from the root letters Sin, Lam, and Mim, which mean peace. But it also means it has a connotation of surrender. And so we achieve peace through a process of surrender. And Islam is actually, right, putting yourself into a state of peace, but you're doing that by submitting your will, right, to the will of Allah. What does that mean? That whatever you want, you say, my wants mean nothing. What my goals mean nothing. My objectives mean nothing. My dreams mean nothing. You just take those and make those in full conformity to whatever Allah wants. Ya Allah, I have no wishes. Your wish is my command. Whatever you want, that's what I want. Whatever you will, that is my will. I am an automaton in your hand. I'm like a robot in your hand. Ya Allah, whatever you want, however you want it, however you wish it to be, I am happy in that state. That is the process of Islam. That is the process of surrender. And so people know oftentimes, like in this world, why do rebellions form? Right? Why is these insurgents who fight for their freedom in oppressive lands? Because they're fighting for their freedom. Right, but the tacit or implicit understanding behind that is that when you're fighting for freedom, you're fighting for control. Right, you're fighting. They say independence. Independence by default is one's ability to exercise control in their own sphere of influence. Right, they're looking for control. That is what we fight for. That we value so much: freedom, independence, liberty. This is what people literally fight for. But when we become a Muslim, the very thing that we are fighting for, we relinquish. But the paradox is, by giving up this freedom, we actually become liberated in Islam. Right? Become liberated in Islam. Because everyone is a slave in one way or another. No one is ultimately free. The only way you actually become free is when you surrender to an infinitely powerful entity, which happens to be Allah. Right? That is Allah. And that's why we find liberation in Islam. And so for the salikin, those who are traveling the path and getting closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it becomes all the more important that they become acutely cognizant of this concept of what we call ridha bil qada. It's called ridha bil qada. Ridha bil qada. Ridha means to be happy with, to be pleased with, to be content with something. That's ridha. Right? In Urdu we say, hamay razi hu. Right? Means that I'm content with it, I'm okay with that, that's cool with me. Loosely translated. And qada means a juristic decree, a mandate. So whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mandated, that we should become pleased with that. What does that mean? If one actually reaches the maqam of ridha bil qada, they becomes completely content with whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decrees, no matter what happens to that person will always be in a state of peace. He says, Alhamdulillah. You cut his feet, he says Alhamdulillah. You cut his arms, he says Alhamdulillah. You cut off his neck, he says Alhamdulillah. Nothing can touch him, he becomes invincible, because for him everything is Alhamdulillah, because he understands that I'm not in control of anything. Allah is control of everything. Whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants, that will happen. Whatever I want, I can't even make a fly go from this side of the room to that room. What type of control do I feel that I can exert over the entire universe? If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is running this whole universe, then whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants, I let go. He is in charge. Right? And understand that on the surface of things, on the surface of it, things look like there's good and bad. But what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say in the Quran? بِيَدِهِ الْخَيْرِ. Right? In His hand is only good. So ostensibly, circumstances look good or they look bad. You lose 500 bucks from your pocket. Ostensibly, it seems like a misfortune has afflicted you. But if it was not out of one's own, negligence, right? And there was something sent from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even that which ostensibly seems as a misfortune, and even in that, there is khair. There is goodness. That is, and so when a person begins to appreciate, and whether he appreciates or not, when he begins to surrender and say that, Ya Allah, no matter what happens in my life, I'm happy with it. Right? Because it's coming from you. Right? It comes from you. There's a story about a king who loved one servant very, very, very much. Very, very, very much. And they just couldn't get it, because they're like, what's so great about this servant? Like, why do you give him so much attention? Why do you love him so much? So he said, okay, you guys are complaining. I'll show you what it's about. So he called everyone, and he prepared a beautiful meal. Right? He prepared a beautiful meal. I'm paraphrasing, right? But a beautiful meal, and there's all nice food which is sitting in front of everyone. Everyone is going to want to eat it. I know the people are salivating, and the gates open. It's time to begin eating, and people eat ravenously, right? They take a couple of bites of food, though. They find there's no salt in there, right? And they're like, this tastes terrible, right? So then people are making faces. They're like, what's going on? Maybe the cook forgot something. Some people start complaining. But that servant boy, he keeps on eating as if everything's normal. He's just eating and eating. People are probably thinking, oh, his food probably got salt and no one else's, right? That's what everyone else is thinking. So then they ask him, the king stops everything. He says, you don't have to stop eating. So people complain to the king, there's no salt in the food. He says, he's eating it, right? They're like, well, I don't know why he's eating. They ask him, and he said, why don't you ask him? So they said, okay, fine. He said, why are you eating the food as if it's so delicious when there's no salt in the food? Right? Now, most of us never have had food without salt, right? So we can't even appreciate what it means. But if you ever tried to cook, like when your mom was out or your wife wasn't around, and you really mess up, right, and the food tastes terrible, then you really appreciate, what the right amount of salt means. But in any case, they're like, why are you eating so ravenously? He says, from that hand that has fed me every day in my life, food, if one day it happens that there was no salt, should I not still be grateful? Right? And so he feigned as if it was beautiful, right? Out of adab, out of love. Now for that same hand that rocks the cradle of the entire universe, that feeds us day, morning, day and night, right? If one day things don't quote unquote go our way, then we start standing up and complaining, right? We start saying that, oh, and you know what? It doesn't even the complaint doesn't have to come out from the mouth. The complaint can happen even when someone tenses up, right? And when someone can't even let out that frustration and that, God is a complaint. The person who's completely razi with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our mashayikh, they used to say that, what's the thing about doing sabr, right? Even the dogs in the alleyway do sabr. Of course they're patient, because you have no other choice. You have no food. What are you going to do? You have no food. Even the dogs in the alley can be patient, right? If you're a human, if you're a wali, if you're a friend of God, even in a misfortune, you should be thankful. That is the sign of righteousness. That is a sign of salah. Right? So what it means to be content in every situation is not necessarily that you have this type of internal tension that you're trying to keep within. that no matter what happens, right? So a car comes and hits you from behind, right? Instead of saying, oh man, right? You say, Alhamdulillah, and you actually smile. And the smile is natural. That's when you know that internally you are content with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed. It doesn't happen overnight. It doesn't happen overnight. You actually have to train yourself over time. But eventually you become happy. Now the flip side of this, right, or a cautionary tale here, is that not doesn't mean, right, you don't study for your exam, you go to your exam, and then you get a 50 on the exam, and your parents are going off, and you say that, oh, this is what Allah willed, right? This is what Allah willed. Only what Allah wants, that's going to happen. Why are you getting mad at me? You know, you fail out of a program, right? Or you take their car and then you get into an accident because you're driving 100 miles per hour on Lakeshore Drive. And they say that, oh, why do you said this is ma qadar Allah, whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will, that's going to happen. Right? Nah, that is true. Whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will is going to happen. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created a system of liability. So the way the algorithm works is that there are things which are in our realm of control. Right, quote unquote, our realm of control. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has charged us with certain responsibility. ظهر الفساد في البر والبحر بما كسبت أيدي الناس. That, you know, that fasad, trial and tribulation, you know, mayhem, destruction, all this type of strife and, you know, animosity that has spread throughout the earth, this evil has spread throughout the earth, بما كسبت أيدي الناس, what a man has earned by his own hand. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right, he doesn't make bad things happen. It's people who make bad things happen, right? We make bad things happen in the sense that we, by our own actions, evil spreads throughout the earth, right? It's our fault, right? It's not like I mess up on an exam and start blaming the teacher that, oh, how come you didn't teach me? You messed up on the exam, right? So similarly, any time in your life when something happens which happens that you don't like, the first question that you need to ask yourself is one of two things. Is it my fault? Is it my fault that this happened? Right? Whether it's Islamic, un-Islamic, whatever type of afat we say in Arab, in Urdu, right? What type of, you know, calamity befalls one, you ask yourself, is it my fault? Did I study enough? Was I assiduous enough? Was I diligent enough? You know, was I careful enough? Did I do due diligence? You go through everything, right? And if you were not, then it's your fault, right? You don't blame it on Allah, you blame it on yourself, right? And then you feel remorseful. And then you actually take responsibility for your own actions. You size up and say that this is my fault. I'm going to deal with the ramifications of my own actions. You don't cower. You don't make excuses. You don't rationalize your problems away. You say it's my fault. If it's something that you fell short in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you make istighfar. If it's something that you fell short in front of people, you go and tell them sorry. Right, your parents wanted you to get into med school. You didn't study hard, you partied in college, then you come home, you didn't bring the grades home, and they're steaming mad. Right? You don't say, no, it wasn't destined for me. You go and say, Mom and Dad, I'm sorry, I didn't study the way I should have. Right? I don't know what I can do, but whatever you want me to do to make it up for you, I will try to make it up for you now. Right? So when you say sorry, it has two sides. One is you feel bad about what you did, and number two, the two side is you try to rectify that in the future. So if it's with Allah, you say, Ya Allah, I'm sorry. And from now on, I'm not going to do that anymore. So a person, you know, he stays up until 3 o'clock at night playing PSP, then he misses his Fajr, right? And he says, oh, you know, I went to, you know, I wanted to get up, but, you know, I didn't get up. Well, it's your fault for sleeping so late. You know that you weren't going to get up on time. So you get up in the morning and you say, okay, is it my fault? Yeah, I went to sleep late. And you say, Ya Allah, is it between Allah or is it between the people? It's between Allah. And you say, Ya Allah, I'm sorry. And then I'm going to be careful. I'm not going to stay up that late anymore. And you don't do that anymore, right? So that's what happens when it comes from your own hands, when you're responsible. But there are things that happen which are completely not your fault. Completely not your fault. So what happens is that you're driving for work, right? You left on time, everything, you know, under normal day, there's a huge accident on the road, but you have to give a presentation, right? You have to give a presentation. Or you're going to go take your MCATs, right? You left on time, everything, huge accident on the road. You are sitting there thinking, you know, worrying, fretting, you know, honking. There's 50 cars in front of you. You can honk until you're blue in the face. It's not going to make the cars go any faster, right? You're trying to tailgate people. Your bumper's almost on top of their bumper, right? As if your 1 inch is going to make any difference, Right? It's not getting you there faster, but people feel they're trying to, again, exert control when they have no say in the matter. Right? And that creates frustration. And that's why people develop road rage, and eventually people who are constantly frustrated and chronically frustrated, they eventually just get depressed. That's the way they deal with this. People are always just sad, they're angry, they have a chip on their shoulder, they're just never really happy. Right? So how do you deal with so things that happen outside your control? So you get into an accident, you're not going to make the MCAT. You say, Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't want to make it. $500 down the drain, okay, fine, right, inshallah. We'll see what happens in the future, whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will. Maybe there was some. Then you think that there, in my not making it there, there is khair. Right? And that will take the bad feeling in your heart and take it out. You're driving around nicely, a car comes and sideswipes you, you get into a huge car accident. Right? What is the first thing you do? You get out of the car and start yelling at the guy? Right? No. You say, Alhamdulillah. Right? Maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't want me to reach in such and such a time at such and such a place, because if I were to go a little bit further down the road, maybe another car would have come and sideswiped me in such a way that I would have died on the spot. So he's saving me from a bigger calamity, number one, or number two, that there is some hidden khair in this that I'm not seeing. So maybe Allah wants me to learn how to be patient when our kids don't do what they want, when our parents don't know you had complete plans to do something and your mom comes home and she says something completely irrational out of nowhere. She says, oh no, you can't do that. And you're like, oh my God, why is she doing that? And you're just getting mad and mad, and eventually shaitan uses that to you start shouting at your mom. Right? He actually takes you into things which you completely should not do. But even if you don't do that, you start feeling bad, you go to your room, you're all tense, you're mad. If you're a child, you might start crying. You know, all of this, you say, Mom doesn't want to do it. Maybe, no, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to teach me patience. Maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He wants me to do something else in this time. I'll just sit and read Quran. So you take that negative energy and you divert it into something good. And that's how you handle every situation. When you earn this maqam of Ridha bin Qadha, you know, we want our kids to memorize so many parahs by such and such time. Or we want our kids to be completely obedient to us. Or we want, if it's not going our way and we're doing what we need to from our side, then you just say Alhamdulillah and let go. And just be happy about it. Right? Because what other choice do you have but to be happy about it? You know, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala were to say that, I have a wish and you have a wish. And in the end, the only thing that will happen is what I wish, not what you wish. Right? If you make your wish in conformity to my wish, then whatever you wish will come to be, and perhaps even more. Right? But if you try to go put your wish against my wish, no, I want to be doing this in this much time and it has to happen this way, right? And I'm going to try to get out, like you're trying to get out in time, your wife is getting you late, you start getting mad. No, right? You want it your way, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, no, it's not going to happen your way, right? So you put your wish against my wish, right? Then I will make you fatigued in you trying to actualize your own wish, but in the end, the only thing that will happen is my wish. Right? So, if one wants to stop wasting, be efficient. Stop, save oneself from frustration, from depression, from anxiety, then the way to do it is just to let go. Right? Just to let go. Just be happy with whatever, and content with whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants. And that's the way that a person can be sleeping on a bed of thorns, and he will feel like he is on a robe of roses. Right? That is the way to create try to create a beautiful thing out of any type of calamity. So we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes us amongst those who are completely pleased with whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decrees in all our matters, inshallah. May He grant us all the maqam of Ridha bil Qadha. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.